The previous Mishnah listed 5 acquisitions which Hashem values and is more interested in than other things. But this Mishnah, the final Mishnah of the Masechta, makes it very clear that at the end of the day, kol ma shebor HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'olamai, absolutely everything that Hashem created in His world, lebor el l'chvoidai, He only created it for His honor. Absolutely everything that was ever created and ever existed brings honor to Hashem in some way. And the Mishnah brings Pesukim to prove this. Shenemar, as the Pesuk says, kol ha'nikra v'shmi, everything which is called by my name. This refers to tzaddikim, righteous people, v'lichvoidi b'rosiv, and who I created for my honor. This is referring to everything else which Hashem created. Yitzartiv, I formed it, afasisiv, I even made it in this physical world. Kabbalistically speaking, there are supposed to be 4 different worlds, and the different words in this pasuk for creating refer to those different worlds, and all the way down until the physical world in which we live, everything was created for Hashem's honor. Now, the truth is, today we don't necessarily see how every ant brings honor to Hashem. And there are countless creations which seem to be totally unnecessary and totally irrelevant, and we don't fully understand how that brings honor to Hashem. And in fact, certain things seem to diminish the honor of Hashem, like destructive forces of nature which cause catastrophe, and we can't fully understand how everything brings honor to Hashem. And because of that, the Mishnah brings another pasuk, and the pasuk says, Hashem yimlech leolam voed, Hashem will rule forever. And this is telling us that in the future, when Moshiach comes and everything will become so much more clear, then it will be revealed how absolutely everything brings honor to Hashem. And this is really an extremely fitting close to the Masechta of Maseches Ovos, Pirkei Ovos. After spending all this time learning about these Mishnayos, so many lessons for life, how to act, how to build one's character, to change one's nature to a more positive one, seeking a greater closeness to Hashem, all of us have no doubt grown and tried to grow in certain areas, make some of these messages practical and bring them into our lives. And there's an extremely easy trap to fall into when working on oneself and growing and aiming higher and higher. And that is that one turns all of it into a way of building himself. He's doing all spiritual things and trying to become a better person, a better Jew. But often one can fall into the trap of just building oneself and focusing totally on oneself, so that I will end up being a great person and I will receive lots of reward in Olam Haba. And we can end up with a situation where it's very similar to somebody who goes to the gym every day and works out on building his muscles and building himself in a physical sense. So instead of doing it physically, so you're building yourself spiritually, but you're totally self-focused and doing it for yourself. The Masechta ends off with a reminder that at the end of the day, all of this we're doing for Hashem. We've got a much greater purpose in this world. To do that which Hashem wants. That's what we need to do in this world. To fulfill Ratzon Hashem, the desire of Hashem. It happens to be, in order to do that, one needs to be the best person he can be. And so on a practical level, you're focusing on yourself and building yourself and changing your own nature. But one should always keep it in the back of his mind that ultimately he's doing it in order to bring more glory to Hashem by perfecting his nature for the sake of Hashem. Solik Maseches Ovos, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. We begin Maseches Horios, the final Masechta in Seder Nezikin, quite a short one, only 3 parakim. And the name Horios literally means rulings. The subject matter of the Masechta is when the Sanhedrin, which is the main base din which ruled over Klal Yisrael, made up of 71 judges, if they make a ruling which is a mistake, and they say that a certain thing is permitted, and in reality it's forbidden to do that, and as a result of their mistaken ruling, the majority of the Jewish people follow what they said and violate that Aveira. So that is the classic case which the Masechta will discuss, when the Sanhedrin make a mistake and the majority of the Jewish people follow their ruling. We'll see, it could be it's enough that the majority of one tribe, one Shevet, follow the ruling, and that it would apply even to a Sanhedrin Ketana, which is a smaller basin of 23 judges, and we'll see details about that later on in the Masechta. Be as it may, we're going to see later on in the Masechta as well that this only applies to certain Averas. Namely, those Averas for which the Torah says that the punishment for violating them on purpose is Kores. being, so to speak, cut off from Hashem, perhaps dying early, and Be'ez Me'koris is a very severe punishment. And any Avera for which the punishment for violating that Avera intentionally is Koris, when a regular individual violates that Avera by mistake, unintentionally, so his punishment is to bring a Korban Chatos. So if the Sanhedrin made a mistaken ruling about an Avera in this category, and the majority of people followed that ruling, then instead of each individual being obligated to bring a Korban Chatos, after all they did it by mistake, they thought it was permitted, the Torah says that instead of that, the Beis Din will need to bring a Par Helem Dovor Shel Tzibur, a Korban of a bull, for the mistaken ruling which caused the community to sin. And so the Masechta is going to discuss details of the Par Helem Dovor Shel Tzibur and when exactly it needs to be offered up, in which situations, and as well as that, there's going to be a focus on what is known as a Korban Oile V'Yoyred. There are three Averas which the Torah says, instead of bringing a regular Korban Chatos, if one violates that Avera by mistake, he needs to bring a Korban Oile V'Yoyred. Now, Korban Oile V'Yoyred is a type of Korban Chatos. The difference, however, is that a regular Korban Chatos for most Averas who carry with them the punishment of Kores when done on purpose, so if you do it by mistake, then you need to bring a regular Korban Chatos. A regular Korban Chatos is the same for everybody, regardless of how wealthy or how poor they are. The offering is an offering of a female sheep or goat, and that is for everybody. When it comes to a Korban Oile V'Yoyred, the type of animal which one is obligated to bring as his Korban Chatos varies according to his wealth. People who can comfortably afford it are obligated to bring a sheep or a goat. However, people who are poor only need to bring a offering of two birds, which are cheaper, and people who are even poorer, they would only be obligated to bring a flower offering, which of course is much cheaper. Now, a third matter which the Masechta will focus on is certain individuals which the Torah prescribes a slightly different korban when they violate an avera. For example, a Kohen Gadol or a king. That will also be discussed in the Masechta. Now, be as it may, most of these discussions which we've been talking about and introducing have to do with korbanos, bringing offerings. So really, this Masechta should be in Seder Kodshim, which we're going to begin after Maseches Horias, which talks all about bringing different types of korbanos. Why is Maseches Horias right at the end of Nezikin? The Rambam answers that quite a lot of the teachings of Maseches Ovos focused on a judge, how a judge needs to be patient in judgment and make sure that he comes to the correct decision and the correct ruling, and really to avoid such a situation where mistaken ruling comes out of Sanhedrin. And so that's why it follows after Maseches Ovos. Begins the Masechta. Hayru Beis Din, if the Sanhedrin gave a ruling, La'aval achas b'kol mitzvah amaros b'Torah, to transgress one of the mitzvahs which are said in the Torah. Now, it's not referring to any of the mitzvahs or avaros in the Torah. Rather, as we explained, it's referring to something whose punishment, when done intentionally, is kores. And when a regular individual transgresses that avera unintentionally, his punishment would be to bring a korban chatos. An avera which comes in that category is an avera which the Mishnah is talking about. The reason why the Mishnah words it like this, any mitzvah which is said in the Torah, is because that is very similar to the language used in the Torah itself when talking about this case. However, it only applies to certain averas, like we explained. So the first stage of this is that Sanhedrin gave a ruling that such and such an act is permitted. But in reality, it is forbidden, they just didn't realize. V'holach ha-yochid, and an individual went, v'oso shoygi galpiem, and he performed that avera according, based on that ruling, unintentionally. Why was it unintentional? Because he thought it was permitted, based on the ruling which the Sanhedrin had given. Whether the Beis Din themselves, the Sanhedrin themselves, the members of the Sanhedrin, whether they performed that Avera and he performed it with them at the same time, together, or whether the members of the Sanhedrin themselves performed that Avera, and after that, the individual performed that Avera, he didn't do it with them, he did it after them, or whether they themselves didn't perform that Avera, but the individual did, based on their ruling which they had given. In all of these cases, Potter, the individual, would be exempt from bringing a regular Korban Chatos, because he relied fully on the Sanhedrin's decision, and therefore the atonement which needs to be brought is a Korban by the Sanhedrin, and he himself would be exempt from bringing an individual's Korban Chatos. However, Hayru Beis Din, if the Sanhedrin issued a ruling a mistaken one. They said that something is permitted. The Yoda Echadin Chetou. And one of the members on the Sanhedrin knew that they had made a mistake. Just that he was outvoted, and therefore the ruling was given against what he thought. However, he was positive that the ruling was wrong. A Talmid v'huroi l'hira'a. Or a student of the Sanhedrin who was fit to be part of the Sanhedrin who would give rulings. However, he wasn't yet part of the Sanhedrin itself, but he was fit to be part of the Sanhedrin. And he knew that they had made a mistake. And nevertheless, once the Sanhedrin had issued their ruling, the Holach, the Osalpian, this individual, who was either a member of the Sanhedrin or he was somebody who was fitting to be a member of the Sanhedrin, he went and violated that Avera based on the ruling which the Sanhedrin had issued. Whether the other members of the Sanhedrin did that Avera and he did it together with them, or whether they did it and then this individual did that Avera after them, or whether the members of the Sanhedrin did not perform the Avera and then he did himself alone. In all of these cases, says the Mishnah, is a chayav, that individual would be obligated to bring a regular individual's korban chatos, and he cannot just rely on the atonement of the parahelim davishal tzibur, which the Sanhedrin will bring. Because he did not rely on the Sanhedrin. We're not talking about somebody who thought that the Sanhedrin was right, and that's why he did the Aveira. This person knew that the Sanhedrin was wrong. So if he goes and does that Aveira, it's considered something forbidden, and he would be obligated to bring his own korban chatos. Now, we're still talking about a case where he did it by mistake, because otherwise he wouldn't need to bring a korban chatos, since a korban chatos is only brought when one does an Aveira by mistake. But as it may, the Mishnah summarizes that klal, this is the rule, hatoli ba'atzmai, one who relies on himself. And the reason why he did that Aveira is not because he thought that the Sanhedrin were correct. Chayev, he is liable to bring his own korban chatos for that Aveira, and it's only somebody v'hatoli ba'beistin who relies fully on the Sanhedrin and assumes that the ruling which they issued was correct, potter, only he would be exempt from bringing his own private korban chatos. Rather, he can rely on the atonement brought about by the Parhelem Dovshal Tzibor, which is offered by the Sanhedrin. Mr. Base, how you based then if the Sanhedrin issued a ruling which was a mistaken one, and the majority of the Jewish people followed that ruling and transgressed that Aveira by mistake by relying on the Sanhedrin's decision, the Yodu Shetou, and then the Sanhedrin realized that they had made a mistake, V'chozbohen, and they retracted their ruling, they announced that they were mistaken, and that really it's forbidden to perform that act. Whether they've already brought their atonement, they've already brought the Parahelem Dovishal Tzibur, or whether they have not yet brought their atonement, which they are now obligated to offer up. The Holach was Alpien, but an individual then went after the retraction of Beis Din, and he did that Aveira. Because he hadn't heard that Sanhedrin had retracted their decision, so he was still relying on their original decision. Rabbi Shimon says that he is also exempt from bringing his own korban chatos, because he's no different to anybody else who relied fully on the Sanhedrin's decision. However, Rabbi Eliezer says that it is a doubt. On the one hand, he relied fully on the Sanhedrin's ruling that it was permitted. On the other hand, he should have made sure to be fully updated regarding the Spacin's decision and whether they had retracted it or not. So he is personally partly at fault as well. Now, any case where there is a doubt as to whether one is obligated to bring a korban chatos, there is a different korban known as a korban oshom toloi, which he is obligated to bring. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, in this case, he would be obligated to bring a korban oshom toloi. Now, Rabbi Eliezer clarifies that what case we're talking about is a sofek. In what case would it be considered a doubt that he would need to bring a korban oshom toloi? Yoshav lo b'seich beisai. If that person was sitting in his house, he was in the same town as the Sanhedrin, so he could easily have found out whether they had retracted or not. So then, chayev, he would be obligated to bring a korban oshom toloi, because he is partly responsible. However, Holach Limdina Sayam, if he had gone abroad, so even if he wanted to find out, it would be very difficult, and it would take a long time for him to find out about the status of the Beis Din's ruling, Potter, then he is indeed exempt, because he's totally not responsible in that case. Omar Rabbi Akiva said, Moide Ani Bozeh, I agree in this case that he went abroad with Rabbi Eliezer, Shru Korev Lepitur Min HaChoiva, that he is closer to being exempt than to being obligated. And therefore, it's not considered to be a doubt as to whether he's obligated to bring korban chatos. he's more likely to be exempt, and therefore he is not obligated to bring an Osham Toloi, which is only in a case where somebody has an equal doubt whether he is liable to a Korban Chatos. Now, why is the Mishnah telling us that Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi Eliezer? So the Gemara explains that Rabbi Akiva is actually adding another case. According to Rabbi Akiva, even somebody who is still in his house, but he's preparing to go on a long journey abroad. Since he's already involved in that journey, although he hasn't begun the journey, he's already preoccupied, so he's not expected to confirm that the Beis Din hadn't retracted their decision. So even in that case, he would be exempt from bringing a Korban Asham Tolui because he's not held responsible. Omar ben Azai said to Rabbi Akiva, Mashon Azamination Bebisai. What's the difference between this person and a regular person who's sitting in his house? Even this person is still in his house. It's true that he's preparing for his journey, but he's in the same town as the Sanhedrin. He should go and find out. So the Mishnah answers on behalf of Rabbi Akiva, because a regular person who's sitting in his house and he's not preparing his journey, it was possible for him to know, and he has the responsibility to find out. Vizer. But this person who is already setting out on his journey, we don't consider it possible for him to have known, because he is already preoccupied with going on his journey. Mishnah Gimel, Hayu Beis Din Lakos Kol HaGuf, if the Sanhedrin issued a mistaken ruling to uproot the entire body of the mitzvah. For example, Omru, they ruled a Nida b'Torah. There's no such law as Nida in the Torah. Nida is a woman who is Tomei for 7 days as a result of seeing blood, and the laws of a Nida are explicit in the Torah. So if the Beis Din say that there's no such thing as Nida, or Ein Shabbos b'Torah, there's no such law as keeping Shabbos in the Torah, or Ein Avodah Zarah b'Torah, there's no prohibition of worshipping Avodah Zarah, idolatry. Hari Eilu Peturin, the Beis Din would be exempt from bringing a Parhelem Dom Shel Tzibur in this case, because it's not even considered to be a ruling of Beis Din, it's just pure ignorance going against something which is explicit in the Torah. That's not even considered to be a ruling of Beis Din. Only in a case where Hayu Levatal Mikzos or Lekayim Mikzos, if they made a ruling to go against part of that which is written in the Torah, part of the mitzvah, a particular detail, but they are still fulfilling the main mitzvah, meaning they're not going against anything which is learnt explicitly from the Pasuk. So then we can consider it to be a ruling of the Sanhedrin. In that case, Harel Chayovin, they would be liable to bring a Parhelem Dovah Shel Tzibur. Ketzad, what's an example? Omru, if the Beis Din said, Yesh Nida b'Torah, there exists a prohibition of Nida, of having relations with a woman who is Tomei as a Nida, Al Habal Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, but somebody who has relations with a Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, Potter is exempt. A Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom is a woman who sees blood in the 11 days following her 7-day period as a Nida, and it's also forbidden to have relations with her, and in fact this is also learned from a Pasuk. But the Gemara explains that the language which the Pasuk uses is the word yomim, days. So if the Beis Din were to rule that during the night time it's permitted to have relations with a Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, then it's not going against anything which is explicit in the Torah, and therefore they would be liable to a Parhelem Dovah Shel Tzibur. Or if they said, yes, Shabbos b'Torah, there is a obligation to observe Shabbos in the Torah, but somebody who carries from a private domain into a public domain, Potter is exempt. So the truth is, this is also learned from Pesukim, but we're talking about a case where they say that it's permitted to throw something from a private domain into a public domain. This, regarding throwing, is already not learned explicitly from the Torah, from a Pasuk, and therefore it's considered to be a ruling, so they would be liable to Parhelem Dovah Shel Tzibur. And a third example is if they say, Yesh Avodah Zarah b'Torah, there is a prohibition of serving idolatry in the Torah, Avah HaMishtach v'Potter, but one who bows down to a idol is exempt. And the Gemara explains that once again, we're not talking about literally bowing down fully, because even that is learnt from Pesukim. Rather, they say that to kneel down in front of the idol, to half bow down, is permitted. So that prohibition is not learnt explicitly from the Pesukim, and therefore Ha'el Chayovin, the Sanhedrin would be liable for such a ruling, because it's considered to be a ruling. Shemar, as the Pasuk says, V'ne'elam Dovar, and a matter is hidden from the Sanhedrin. We learn from there that only if Dovar, if one particular matter, one particular detail of the law, is hidden from Beis Din, and they make a mistake regarding that one detail, then they would be liable to bring a Parhelem Dovah Shel Tzibur. But not if the entire concept of that Aveira is hidden from them, because then it's not even considered to be a ruling.